From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel in New York. David Remnick says straight off that his minions are not firefighters or emergency workers or criminal investigators. They're not in the front line of the action. But they have faced their own extreme challenge since Tuesday's attack to write about it with insight and with understanding. And the other week, Remnick would add, with wit and humor. He is the editor of The New Yorker, which finished its next issue last night. The magazine that so often captures the sentiment and defines the culture of this city will observe a special restraint this time.
We're not running any cartoons in our issue next week. I just found it hard to imagine getting my issue of The New Yorker on Monday and seeing cartoons of talking animals and one guy saying something to another at the bar. Maybe that's what we'll need in the coming weeks, or part of what we'll need. But in the very first rush of it, I had a hard time imagining that. Usually on our back page, we run something funny and graphic, maybe a Roz Chass strip or something like that. This week, we'll have a poem. And that seemed to be, without being theatrical about it, more appropriate to the moment.
What do you do for a cover after this?
I think you'll see that our cover is, in a way, an attempt to, with a very simple gesture, be appropriate and not thrusting cleverness or ego onto the event. I think that's what you'll see. I think you'll find it, as I do, striking and subtle. It's a kind of memorial.
You, as a journalist, not only have you been the editor of The New Yorker now for a while, but you covered the collapse of a system in Moscow years ago and many other huge stories. I'm just curious about your own personal assessment of what we're just seeing this week and what you think it amounts to.
Well, it potentially could amount to a reordering of so much of the way we think about the world. And it also reorders our emotions, and it reorders our simple being in the world. Remember, I'm just, you know, a few blocks from where this happened. It's hard for me to think about the way one might feel about it in Los Angeles or Omaha, where it's difficult enough and will continue to be extremely difficult. But here, you think about everything. You think about your own children, and you think about, at the same time, how this is going to amount to a complete reordering of our somewhat complacent post-Cold War happiness. And just a few days ago, our most difficult problem, or one of them, was crisis in consumer confidence. And we talked about Gary Condit to our everlasting damnation and all these things. No one has time for that or space for that. We have to think about whether we have the right national defense. We have to think about our leadership. We have to think about our civil emergency procedures, all of these things which are elemental and existential. And a few days ago, we were thinking of much happier things, I suppose, much more banal things.
You know, one thing that I hear in what you're saying is that one of the very much overused, perhaps facile ideas of recent years, the concept of everyone reaching for closure, is in itself inappropriate here.
There is no closure. That was always nonsensical, forgive me, television language of the worst kind, the healing process, the closure. It was a kind of false narrative, a kind of nonsense unanimity that maybe some people found comfort in. I just found it nonsensical. It's just banal, inadequate language, and it's certainly not going to be adequate to this occasion.
And at The New Yorker, I just wonder, have you tried to figure out when something that you might call the normal, the routine, resumes? When the issue comes out that is full of wit and cartoons and isn't sensitive to the moment?
Well, I think in the weeks to come, in the months to come, our readers, not only in their reading of The New Yorker, but in their life and the world, need all of it. The mind cannot possibly, at least not the mind that's not superhuman, be so utterly concentrated on this every second of the day without imploding. And so there is the need for relief. But again, remember that most of us are super entertained over-entertained, and there's maybe a moment, maybe it's a, I hope it's a short moment, that we need to concentrate on serious things too. I think obviously in the future there'll be more of a mixture, and that'll be reflected in the magazine. I hope that time will come soon.
David Remnick, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
David Remnick is the editor of the New Yorker magazine.